You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is up? Eddie Pascal and producer Trav coming at you live from Studio 250, aka Travis's bedroom here in Watford, England. We made it. I cannot believe we made it. We are here in beautiful England at The Grove, which, my God, is much too nice for common folk like Trav and myself. But even though we're on a different side of the world, even though our sleep schedules are screwy to say the least, we come to you humbly, deeply, sincerely, with another episode of Upon Further Review, a good one this week, with a little bit of a Euro flair, can we say, Travis? A little bit of a Euro flair. No player interview this week because, as I said, we're going Euro. So in just a few minutes, we are going to welcome in the great Jonathan Clegg. For those of you who don't know Jonathan, he is an editor at the Wall Street Journal. He is also the co-author of a book that I cannot recommend enough. It is called The Club. It centers around the Premier League here in England and how it became this behemoth of a sports league. And in addition to being an acclaimed author, an editor for the Wall Street Journal, our guy John, also a big Raiders fan. So we will link with him in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we begin, as we always do, as we always will, with our transactions. And believe it or not, Raider Nation, just a single transaction this week. Incredible. And really the only transaction is we have released Eddie Vanderdoe's EV4 from the injured reserve list. Now, for those of you who are saying, Eddie, but I thought we did this months and months ago. Yes, technically he was put on the IR, but now we have officially parted with him in all capacities. So we thank you, EV4, for your service. We hope you land on your feet elsewhere. But as of 10-1, just a few days ago, EV4 officially waived from the reserved injured list. Boy, it feels like I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I don't know where I am, who I am anymore. But a couple days ago, the Silver and Black won a pretty big football game. A big, big road win, their first of 2019. Your final score, 31-24 over the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. And it was one the Raiders needed really bad. Not only to return to 500, but you get your first road win. You get a little momentum going into what is a behemoth of a trip. And we've had a really, really nice time here. It has been a blast. Our English brothers and sisters have been incredible to us since we descended. But the fact remains, your schedule is different. You're not at home. Now, Coach Gruden is trying to do his best at keeping the schedule consistent in terms of the timing of the day, the practice, the media, your meetings. So everything in that sense is mirrored more or less than when we're at 12:20, but we're in England. So it's you're not going to shoot 100% in making sure everything is as it is back in California. But it was good. It's been good. It was a big win on Sunday. So if we look back at the game for just a brief second before we look ahead to Sunday, because really, that's what we're here for. The Raiders rushing attack, dominant yet again. 32 collective carries for 188 yards and a tutty. Excellent. Derek Carr, very precise with the football. Effective, very efficient. That's the word, thank you. Very efficient. 21 of 31 for 189 yards. Two touchdowns. Finishes his day with a quarterback rating of 105.4. We were talking about this postgame as during our 19-hour flight to London, which was a true celebration. But we were talking about this, and I think the 2019 Raiders, this is the way you're going to have to win football games. You control the clock, you dominate the line of scrimmage, you establish a presence up front, and then you let Derek go to work. 189 yards for DC, 188 through the ground, on the ground. So about as close to 50-50 as can be. But you play good defense. You get timely plays when you need them, big plays. Sunday's big play, courtesy of the great E. Harris, personal friend of this program. Shout out, E. Harris. pick six on Jacoby Brissett in the final minutes to really seal up that win for the Raiders. And I mean, I think that's the formula. And I think that's the way that Coach Gruden wants to play football. He has talked over and over and over about establishing a tone, being a hard, smash-mouth football team, and really winning the battle up front. And that is what the Raiders did on Sunday. Now, granted, you look at the defensive side of things, second week in a row, no sacks. But the defensive line, kind of led by rookie defensive end Max Crosby on Sunday, did just enough. They put Jacoby Brissett, who is one of the slipperier, is that a word, Travis? Slippery, more slippery, most slippery? But anyways, I think the Raiders defensive line did a good enough job at keeping him as contained as they could. He obviously got loose a little bit. He finishes his day with three touchdowns, but that crucial, vital interception in the final minutes. And so the Raiders fly to London happy. And we're in London now. We've been here since, oh boy, the early hours of Monday. And we're a few days out from game time as it stands right now. And I think that when you're looking at this team, you're looking at welcoming in the big bad Chicago Bears and that nasty defense of theirs, I think our second headline has to be kind of the state of this team health-wise. So as you guys know, we record on Thursday. So keep in mind, this is subject to change if you listen to the pod on Friday or Saturday or even before the game on Sunday. But as of Thursday, two practices in the books here at the Grove in Watford, and star wide receiver Tyrell Williams, 0-for on both practices. Oh, boy. And I know that the Raiders are banged up, and I know that doesn't make them special or unique in the NFL, and I realize that every team, all 32, are dealing with their own fair share of injuries. But man, it seems like the Raiders have just been going through it the past month or so since the season started. So as I said, no Tyrell, which would be a huge blow for this offense against a very, very, very good Chicago Bears defense. Tyrell has scored a touchdown in all four games of the 2019 regular season. So losing him out wide, your number one wide receiver. And yes, I know Darren Waller has established himself as a legitimate number one as well, but he is a tight end. He has other responsibilities that Tyrell simply does not have. So if Tyrell Williams were not able to go, I mean, you're looking at, and the receiving core for the Silver and Black has been thin to begin with all season. If you're down your main dog, it could be a long night against a Bears defense, a Bears secondary that is nasty. Looking at the Bears on paper, obviously led by old friend Khalil Mack, they're a top five overall defense. They're a top three defense against the run, which is what the Silver and Black like to do, how they've been successful in the early part of 2019, getting that run game led by Josh Jacobs rocking and rolling. But if you do not have Tyrell, boy, that changes a big part of what you want to do offensively. And as I mentioned, that receiving core, Dwayne Gucci Harris returned to practice on Wednesday, was unable to go today on Thursday. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I mean, we will see how the next 36 hours and change kind of shake out for this team, but when you're going against a defense like the Bears, you need all your dogs. You need every single person up and ready to go, and hopefully that is the case for the Silver and Black on Sunday. On the defensive side of things, another guy who was unable to practice the first two sessions of the week, rookie defensive end Cleveland Furrell, as he's in the concussion protocol, working his way through that. And when it comes to concussions and just head injuries in general, they're finicky creatures, as they should be. It's a very serious issue. It's something that needs to be treated with the respect and severity that it deserves. So we just don't know when we're going to see Klee. Could it be tomorrow? It possibly could. Could it be Sunday? Who knows? It's just one of those things. It's really hard to get a proper gauge on how, where a guy is at, unless you're that guy, right? And we're not going to sit here on this podcast and say, oh, he needs to play. He needs to tough it out. Oh, wah, wah, wah. That's for other people to yell about. That's not what we do. Head injuries are very serious. Producer Trev is nodding in agreement. So we just wish for the best for Mr. Furrell, and hopefully he gets back sooner than later. But the health of this team, mamma mia, got to get healthy. The bye, I think, is coming at a good time. If you're able to secure a win on Sunday, if you're able to knock off a really, really good Chicago Bears team and then fly back to America with a win, you're over 500, you're headed into the bye, I like where we're going. I like that a lot. But We got a long way to go in between now and then. So, before we get to the rest of the program, and producer Trav, I don't even know if KMM is going to make it. We've been trying to get a hold of him. We've hit him on numerous devices of communication, and we've heard nothing from him.
Nothing yet. So
we're scared. We're a little nervous. So
his well-being.
Yeah, please, everyone, tweet at KMM, hashtag prayers for KMM, or hashtag, probably more appropriately, hashtag where is KMM? Please, if you find him, send him our way, because we have not seen him, and we're scared. Someone we have seen and is not scary, though, our guest this week on the pod, our guest on Upon Further Review, I talked about him at the top of the program, the great Jonathan Clegg. As I said, an editor, at the Wall Street Journal, as well as the co-author of a book that I personally can endorse. I don't endorse many things because I'm a tough critic, but this book, The Club, outstanding. If you love the NFL, you should check it out. If you love soccer, you should check it out. If you have an English Premier League team that you follow, you should check it out. And if you like to read just in general, so check it out. We talk about many things with the great John Clegg. We talk about his Raiders fandom, the game growing abroad, football that is, American football, because football's already a pretty big deal here. And no stone is left unturned. So here it is, our conversation with Jonathan Clegg. And our guest this week, as I told you guys at the top of the show, we're going with a European flair. We figured it was appropriate. We're in London spending the week here in advance of our Week 5 matchup with the Chicago Bears at Tottenham's new stadium. So we are very pleased to welcome him. He's an editor at the Wall Street Journal, as well as the co-author of The Club, which you're going to get into in just a second, the great Jonathan Clegg. And John, honestly, if I'm being 100% real with you, I just wanted you to come on and talk about the book. This is what I want. I read the book. We talked about this a while ago. And this is a great excuse to talk a little bit soccer on the Raiders podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Always happy to talk about the book, pleasure to talk to you.
So, as I said, I read the book, and the premise of the book is essentially how the Premier League now has become this big, behemoth, unstoppable beast that is unparalleled by anything else in the world. But when I was reading it, and I read it a couple months ago, the one thing that I really was kind of taken by is that it really does seem like there's a lot of NFL similarities between, obviously, the NFL and how the Premier League kind of came into becoming this beast. When you look back at it, do you see a lot of comparisons between the two?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was one of the things that when we were, reporting the book, that we were struck by too, because that kind of link between the NFL and the creation of the Premier League wasn't super widely known, wasn't very established. But when we spoke to the sort of people that set up the Premier League, and for people who don't know, the Premier League, English soccer has been around for hundreds of years, but the Premier League is a relatively recent thing. They kind of relaunched the league, kind of rebranded in 1992, and that kind of push to relaunch English soccer and to kind of make it a much more attractive, TV proposition, was really orchestrated by three or four guys, and they were the owners of a bunch of Premier League teams: Manchester United, Arsenal, Tottenham, where you were last night, and they took a lot of cues from the NFL on how they did this. David Dean, who was the vice chairman at Arsenal at the time, spent a lot of time in Miami watching the Dolphins. The Manchester United and Tottenham owners came over and watched the Raiders play in New York in the late 80s, and they took a lot of ideas about how the NFL packages itself as a TV product, about the kind of entertainment around the game, about making a kind of family-friendly environment inside the stadium, and really kind of creating stadiums where it was a kind of pleasurable experience. So a lot of that stuff filtered over and helped make the Premier League what it is today.
Yeah, and obviously, it's so interesting to me now, and we've talked about this before, where, people who are my age, I just turned 28, and who grew up with soccer in the United States are now kind of, it's been really interesting, probably the past, 5, 10, 15 years maybe, how much soccer has grown in the United States. And, on Sunday mornings for us, you can catch pretty much any Premier League game, even on kind of your basic cable package. But I feel, and like I said last night, we were at the Tottenham Bayern Munich game, and you kind of feel that there, just in speaking with people at the pub, and they said there's really an excitement for the NFL now abroad, especially in England. You know, the games sell out, they're great environments. It's kind of funny now to see that we've almost traded, right? Where soccer's becoming huge in the United States, but football's really growing here abroad.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I think the Premier League was very smart in how it sort of marketed itself abroad. It kind of was one of the first leagues to you know, to take control of the way that it sold its TV rights in foreign countries, and a lot of emphasis was put on making it, you know, widely available. Like you say, that they want the Premier League to be on basic cable packages. They want the Premier League to be, in some cases, on free-to-air TV, just so people are exposed to it, because they were confident that the more people are exposed to the Premier League, to English soccer, the more that they would you know, become fans of it, because it is you know, it's a really exciting sport, very sort of simple to understand, and a lot of the sort of history and stuff like that they play up, you know, really makes it a different kind of experience. I'm sure you guys experienced it yesterday when you went to go and see when you go see an English Premier League team play. It's like a very different experience to watching, you know, pro sports or any kind of sporting spectacle in the US. You know, it's got some similarities to college football, sure, with some of the pageantry and stuff, but it's kind of, it just has got a very different vibe, and I think that's something that sort of comes through when you watch it on TV. You know, it does feel different to anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. We were actually, as we were leaving the game last night, producer Trav looked over at me and he said, you know, it's so interesting having seen this live now, because it was the first Champions League game, obviously, for any of us. And he goes, it's just about the game here. You know, there's no timeouts, you know, where they're, you know, oh, you know, you have your sponsor and, oh, which, you know, which helmet is the ball under. There's none of that. It's, you're there for the game. And it's such a stark contrast to kind of what we see when we watch football or basketball or anything in the States. You know, it's ad. And I guess, to be fair, the players wear the ads on their jerseys and they have the sponsors there.
Right.
But the experience, particularly in stadium, is so different compared to what we see in the United States. And there were five of us there last night. And to each of us, that was the one thing that really stood out. I mean, outside of the pageantry and the chants and how fired up people are, but the in-stadium experience is so much different. And I'll say it, I think it's a better experience in-stadium to do it that way.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, when I was growing up in the UK, you know, I went to see the Raiders play at Wembley Stadium in I think 1991, and at that time, I was, as a kid, I was blown away by the whole spectacle of watching an NFL game. You know, this was one of the very first kind of games that the NFL played at Wembley. I think it was called the American Bowl back then. And it was all the spectacle of everything around it, that, you know, cheerleaders and instant replay and kind of, you know, cannons shooting flames up into the sky and all that sort of stuff was like, it blew my mind. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before at a Premier League game. But yeah, it's you know, the English soccer experience is very kind of stripped down. You know, I think that's one of the other things that kind of makes it, you know, a sort of attractive proposition for people nowadays is, you know, it's pretty short too. You know, the lack of ad breaks means that the games are pretty quick and getting in and out in 2 hours. And, you know, nowadays when people don't have a bunch of time to sit around watching, you know, TV for hours on end, it's I think that's one of the sort of selling points of the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up too, because as we were walking out, we're having this conversation about, you know, we're on cloud nine. We're all really excited to have gone to the game, but it was like you said, it was really short, and we all left being like, I want more. You know what I mean? Like you said,
yeah.
we were in and out in under 2 hours, and you're like, that was incredible, but that's it. Like, we have to go home now. Like, because you go to an NFL game and it's like three and a half hours, 4 hours if you know, there's a lot of incomplete passes and penalties and stuff like that, and it just left us wanting more, which I guess is kind of a best case scenario for all those guys.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, I guess that's leaving wanting more is always worked pretty well.
You know, I was curious about this too, and like I said, we talked about the atmosphere and everything last night at Tottenham's new stadium, which is absolutely beautiful, and we were, you know, beyond excited to be there on Sunday and play an NFL game. But it was so different in terms of, we were trying to figure out what an American comparison would be for seeing a Champions League game there, and none of us could put really an accurate kind of gauge on it. One of our guys, he said, it's kind of like the Super Bowl, but it's not really the Super Bowl because they're teams from different countries, and obviously it's a long road to get there. But it was such a unique experience that none of us could really put our finger on it. Like when you think back, the big matches you've been into your life. I mean, really, is there a good American comparison, or does it really kind of stand on its own as this is just a special, very unique kind of experience?
Yeah, it's hard to think of a comparison. I mean, it's in some ways it's kind of most similar to like you say, not the Super Bowl necessarily, but a playoff game, sort of postseason game of some kind, because the stakes are high, and you don't get too many chances. If you lose a Champions League game, especially if you lose it the way that Tottenham lost last night, then you're probably not going to stick around in the tournament for too long. So, it's kind of like, a postseason or a conference, championship game. It's one of the sort of strange things of European stuff that when you try and, explain it to people who are unfamiliar with how it works, that the fact that there are these sort of parallel tournaments all happening at the same time. So, these teams are playing in the Premier League, but then they're also playing in the Champions League, and they're also playing in the FA Cup. And each of those kind of tournaments are happening simultaneously throughout the course of the season, and they are all kind of important in their own different ways. But the Champions League, again, something that was revamped in the last kind of 25 years, and really a very kind of special occasion to go see.
Yeah, absolutely. John Clegg's our guest, and John, I'm going to ask you, because obviously we're a Raiders podcast. We work for the Silver and Black, and I'm going to ask you a question that I posed to some of our new friends at the pub last night. We were discussing, we're kind of swapping stories about, American football and European football, and we were trying to figure out what a proper comparison, like who the Raiders would be if they were a Premier League club. And one of the guys said that Man United was probably his best guess. A team with a lot of history, a team that has had success, a team that is trying to return to its winning ways. But I'm curious, as a guy who lives in both the football and soccer world, when you think of the Raiders, is there what would the Premier League equivalent to them be, do you think?
That's a great question. I think Manchester United is a good one, but Manchester United has had a lot of success in the 1990s, 2000s. Whereas the Raiders' success, was maybe a little further back. If I was going to say, come up with a comparison, and it's maybe not the most exciting one, but I think maybe Leeds United is an English football team, was very successful in the 1970s, had a kind of reputation for playing the game on the edge of the rules, which was very much like the Raiders back in the day. And, also had a sort of, a brief, moment in the sun when they qualified for the Champions League semifinals in I think, 2000, 2001, which sort of coincides with the Raiders' brief kind of return to greatness back there in the early 2000s. But now a team is sort of fighting to get back to where it feels like it belongs. So one of the sort of English soccer's traditional powers, but one that's sort of fallen away in recent years. They play in all white though, so not exactly the same as Silver and Black. But Leeds United is not a bad shout.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one for sure. That's a very good comparison. And we do appreciate your time. So I got just a few more for you, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. You told me that you went, obviously you saw the Silver and Black at Wembley in 91, right? 91. And
yeah, I think 91, 92,
somewhere in that part of the world, but.
Yeah.
Did it stick with you? Did you get a little Raiders itch after seeing them live and in person as a youngster?
Oh yeah. I follow the Raiders. I followed them. Almost as closely as I followed my Premier League team. Ever since I've been I was. I always say that if you were to imagine if you grew up outside the U.S., you were to imagine looking at the NFL as someone who had no attachment to any team, and you could pick any of the 32 teams to follow, I have no idea how anyone would choose a team other than the Raiders. Because as a kid, when I looked at the NFL, they were like the black uniforms were the coolest thing I'd ever seen. No soccer team wears black jerseys, really. So that was the coolest thing. Just the whole Raider image, the history, everything about it was unlike anything that I'd sort of seen or experienced before in English soccer. So I kind of live and die with the Raiders these days.
I mean, so let me ask you then, how do you think we're going to fare on Sunday? You got a big challenge at Tottenham's new stadium, welcoming the Bears, that nasty defense, Khalil Mack seeing a bunch of old friends again. I mean, in terms of a Week 5 game, there is certainly no lack of intriguing storylines to follow for that one.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited to see, you know, what the NFL looks like in Tottenham's new stadium. And I'm excited because I think you know, the Raiders have a shot here. You know, defense looks very improved on last year. It'll be interesting to see how they fare against Chase Daniel with Trubisky out. Maybe they can kind of slow down the Bears on offense. And I kind of see a low-scoring game maybe and see if the Raiders can kind of eke out a win and get back over 500.
I would love nothing more, and that would give me a very, very happy flight back to the United States. So, John, we appreciate you a lot, man. Like I said, the book was incredible. It was, and I'm not just blowing smoke. It was probably my favorite book I've read this year. Where can the good people go buy the book and check it out for themselves?
So the book is available, any Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local independent bookstore, anywhere that you can buy books. It is by my colleague Joshua Robinson and me, and it's called The Club, How the English Premier League Became the Wildest, Richest, Most Disruptive Force in Sports.
And it is a great book. Like I said, I keep talking it up, but I really did enjoy it that much. So, John, thank you for giving us it a few times. And you're on East Coast time right now, so are you waking up early with us, or what time is it where you are?
Yeah, that's right. No, it's we're just gone 10 a.m. So we're pretty good here.
Okay.
In New York.
Good. I mean, that's been obviously for us the past couple of days trying to figure out what time is up. You know, my laptop has one time,
yeah.
The phone has a different time. You're talking with people back at home. It's a third time. It's been a very confusing 72 hours for us. But like I said, we appreciate you immensely, man. And hopefully we catch up soon and enjoy the game on Sunday.
Okay, will do. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, and a big shout out to our guy, John Clegg, man. Good enough to wake up early as he's located in America to give us a few minutes of his time. And yeah, like I said, really good book. Go check it out. Well, another thing you guys should check out, especially to our English brothers and sisters that are in town. Well, of course you're in town. You live here. But if you're a fan of the Silver and Black, if you're a fan loosely of this supposed program that we put together once a week, you can combine your joys because we being the entirety of the Upon Further Review crew, that's me, producer Trav, the great KMM, who we have located, by the way, and Matt Walks, and is that it? I think that's everyone.
And the great Marcus.
Yes, and the great Marcus. We are all going to be at the Admiralty Pub in London this Saturday, October 5th, from approx 2:30 to 3:15. And we are essentially going to do this show live. So you can come hang out with us, see the way that we mix and match this thing together. You can see producer Trav on the ones and twos. It'll be a great time. So like I said, if you are in town, come hang out with us. Come crush a beer with us. Maybe two, maybe three. Who knows? Come enjoy some time with us. Listen to some good Raiders banter. And start your afternoon right. That said, it's victory formation, which is essentially what we're going to do in 2 days again. Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, and the recently discovered KMM. KMM, how are you?
I'm happy to be here, Eddie. Another day, another dollar.
Where were you?
Well, originally, I did doze off for about 20 minutes. Here I am.
Here you are, here you stand. So, KMM, producer Trav and I were discussing this, and obviously you didn't know because you were unable to join us.
Sure.
But we're getting in and out today because we're doing a live show on Saturday. And we don't want to reveal all of our hot content plans.
We've got a lot of it.
Yeah. The plan is coming together. It looks good. It looks strong. But we're going to get in. We're going to get out. So, thing number one that we need to hit. the Raiders to be successful on Sunday against the mighty Bears of Chicago must insert here, Kyle.
Oh, boy. Well, no Trubisky.
Is that official? We were trying to figure out, is Mitchell officially out?
I think we can assume that Trace Daniel is going to be the guy.
Okay.
I think he's going to be the guy. We've heard players talk about it at the podium. I think they're expecting Chase Daniel to be the guy.
Chase Daniel's a thick boy, isn't he?
I can't confirm that.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know about the man's physique enough. Possibly.
Yeah.
Do you Trav? Do you look like you had a thought there? Are you just,
or were you just
doing spin producer
stuff? I was just
stuff?
turning you down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't have much knowledge on him.
On his physique, yeah. Sure. Continue, KMN.
But if you can find a way to find the hole in that solid, dominant defense that the Bears have, which I know is pretty vague, but really, I mean, from front to back and back to front, they're loaded. So if you can find a way to take advantage of a weakness in their defense.
Do they have a perceived weakness?
I mean, all three levels are so good.
Yeah, it's strong. It's, oh, gosh. I'm kind of with you, though, man. If we can establish the run, I think is going to be the biggest thing for us. Because you look at last week's game, collectively our best effort of 19, is that fair to say?
I don't think so.
Almost 200 yards on the ground. Josh Jacobs rocking and rolling and flexing and rolling tide all over the defense. And I think that's how you're going to have to win games in 19.
The balanced approach?
Yep, got to be balanced. Because if you're balanced, that gets Josh rolling, gets his momentum going. You throw Jalen and D-Wash in the mix. You got a nice change of pace. So if you've established that tone at the line of scrimmage, that opens everything up for Derek. Everything. And I'm excited to see if the Raiders can do that. It is no easy task. We know that this Bears defense, led by 50 Deuce, is scary.
Indeed. I wonder if they'll stack the box, though, against Mr. Jacobs and try and make Derek beat us with his arm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, because if you're them, right, if you're old Chuck Pagano, if you're Charles Pagano,
mm-hmm.
and you stack the box, do you really want to give Derek Carr, a guy who a couple years back was an MVP candidate, like, is that, you want him to have the chance to beat you? I almost think that you're like, all right, I don't know. Pick your poison, right? Like, do you want the rookie running back who's had a great start to his career to be the feature? I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not a football guy.
Either.
I'm not a football guy, Kyle. So, unfortunately, I don't have those answers.
I'm not sure I do either. Just merely throwing out.
Yeah, just speculation. I love it. You know, we're just riffing. Just riffing.
And raffing.
Riffing and raffing. One more thing before we get out of here, because we not unfortunately, but we got to keep a lot of the tent under wraps.
Mm-hmm.
One piece of tent that is not under wraps. Our friends from Watford FC showed up today.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. A great international crossover.
Sure.
What was your kind of big takeaway from their time here?
Oh, boy, I had several.
You met your biological father.
Yeah. Not really, but yeah.
The guy just looked like you.
Yeah, which was a very nice bloke, very nice gentleman. But meeting their keeper,
yeah,
one of their keepers.
Dan Bachman.
Yeah, watching him learn how to kick field goals was pretty cool. Very educational, not only for him, but for me, who I didn't know all of the steps and things that Mr. Carlson and Mr. Cole go through on a weekly basis.
So a quick, to lift the veil, if you will, for just a second, Dan Bachman from Watford came out along with their digital staff. Shout out to them. And one of the things that we executed, and tune into Raiders.com in the coming days to see the final product. But quick teaser, Dan, their goalie, took some field goal attempts, and Carlson and AJ Cole kind of coached him up on how to do it. And as Kyle said, it was very informative. It was a true masterclass in kicking. And it was pretty dope to see kind of AJ and Daniel be the coach. You know, it was kind of fun to see them in that switched role, because usually we see Richard in their ear. But they were filling the Richard role in this case.
Yeah, I think he refer to him as Coach Carlson, jokingly, Dan? Well,
probably.
Maybe,
and it was
not
kind of confusing, because it was a Dan and a Daniel. It's confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what can you do?
Very cool, though.
Very cool. All right, last one before we get out of here, as we wrap this up. Producer Trav, KMM, I ask you this question all the time. If there's one thing, and you already kind of answered it, Kyle, but try to be a little more specific for me, would you? The Raiders will win on Sunday if...
If you can hold off 52 and keep Derek Carr upright, there will be way more time to lead to success, but I don't know if you can stop 52. He's a force. We all know he is.
T-Bone, what do you got for me?
I'm just going to reiterate what I said last week. Start fast. We did, and look what happened.
It was a win.
It was a win.
Good win, a strong win.
Strong win.
I'm going to say if the Raiders can rush, for over 140 yards.
Wow.
I think we will win.
Control the clock?
Exactly. We were at 188 on Sunday against the Colts. If we can hit 140, which is no tall task considering the Bears are better at stopping the run than almost any other team in the NFL, if we can do that, I think we'll I like our chances on Sunday afternoon. I guess Sunday evening here, technically. My deep apologies to our British friends. But speaking of British friends and American friends and friends of all nationalities, races, creeds, and classes, come hang out with us Saturday afternoon at the Admiralty in London. And we're out of here. We're done. If you want to get some more tent from us, you got to show up at the bar, or the pub, excuse me. So show up at the pub, hang out with us, take a picture, drink a cold one. It's a great way to spend an afternoon. It'll be a lot of fun. We cannot wait. So until Saturday, Eddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great KMM, John Clegg, and a big thank you to engineer Jim, per usual. And we will see you guys, hopefully on Saturday, for a bonus-ode. Trav, make sure you put a sound effect in here. Bonus-ode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.